Welcome back. Well, in a country that produces enough food to feed tens of millions of people, it is hard to imagine that there are thousands of people in Ireland right now who struggle to get enough nutritious, affordable food to eat. Children are particularly affected, with school kids going to school or bed hungry because of lack of food at home. And now, with inflation and food prices up on last year, food poverty is putting a huge strain on an increasing number of people. And this is also, of course, true in rural Ireland. Della Kilroy went to Boyle's Family Resource Centre in Roscommon, where they help people out by providing food when they cannot afford it.
These are our volunteers.
So these are our volunteers. So this is my volunteer, Margaret.
Okay, I'm packing the bags out here now. So what we do is we come in, it's twice a week, we come in and we prepare the food for people to come for us.
You've got your boxes here.
These are for the families. All stuff that can be stored, that doesn't go off. And there's more people coming every time now. Yeah. So I'm going to do a family one now. Different cereals here. So what I like to do is maybe give something for the adults and the children. Two soups then.
So you've got some tuna, more canned foods, peas, beans.
Yeah, one rice, one pasta. And a sweet or a treat could be a tin of peaches, jam or rice.
Rice pudding.
Yeah, have this. I'm going to bring it out now and have it ready to hand over to someone. This is Marion. She's another.
Hiya, Marion. I'm in Boyle's Family Resource Centre in County Roscommon, where volunteers are getting ready to open their twice weekly food bank.
My name is Marion, and I've been here for about a year now, and we get a varied amount of people coming in. People in different circumstances. We had somebody here last month he came in and he looked so malnourished, and he was so embarrassed about collecting food, and he said he suffered from depression, but we haven't seen him since, unfortunately. And you get people like that, and I feel that people don't come in when they should come in.
What's the process? We're looking here at your list for today. What does it look like?
There are 101 numbers, 101 individuals who come in. They come in between Monday and Wednesday. It's divided up between Monday and Wednesday. And they range from a family, individual, a couple.
You can see today then you have quite a lot of families. Is that something you've
quite
seen?
A lot of families, yes, and individuals. And you find a lot of people are living in rooms. They might be just looking for a tin of beans or a tin of peas.
And so would people travel from rural parts of Roscommon as well?
Oh, they do, yes, they do. They might come in on local link also.
And have you seen this list go up over the past year?
When I came here, it was about 75, something like that. It's now 111. The cost of food, I find, yes, it is. And you find families. There's one woman who comes in. She has six children. We have a couple of Ukrainian people. Syrian, Romanian, but mostly Irish.
Yeah, so it's just 3 o'clock now, so people are starting to queue up here at our kitchen area to come in to collect their food packages for today. So they'll come in one household at a time.
Busy on the get-go.
So we do it for an hour, as I say, twice a week, and from once we open to when we close, there's always a steady flow of people coming in and out.
Emer McFadden is a support worker in the centre.
So the food bank was started in 2017. It was started in response to a need. There was a lot of people coming to the centre saying that they were, didn't have enough money week to week to maybe cover food items, or they were running short each week and then not having enough maybe to have the basics in the house each week. It's set up through the food items that come in quarterly. We are also signed up to Food Cloud for the local shops. So it might be fruit and veg. And then local people here are so good to us. We sometimes can have a local organic farmer will donate fruit and vegetables to us.
Has demand changed with the cost of living crisis?
Yeah, demand has changed. Like, we've always been a busy service even before the cost of living crisis. Over the last year, we have seen a steady increase. We probably have maybe up on nearly 50 additional registrations in our food bank, and not really anyone stepping off it. So sometimes we'd find that people would need us for a short period of time and then say, I'm actually okay, we're in a better place, not come, and then somebody new would come along. But also we've noticed a change in circumstances of families. So traditionally, a lot of the people who would have been registering with us would have been in receipt of a social welfare payment. And while we're not means tested, that just would have been where we would have seen the biggest demand. Now we're starting to see where households where there is people working, maybe both people, if there's two parents or two adults in the house, and they're just finding it hard to make ends meet with all the bills. So they're coming to us. They mightn't come every week. They might only come once a month, but they're just feeling that pinch and that they need to come for that extra bit of support. But then we would also see people from rural areas further outside the town coming into us. And it's a case of maybe they can't get to a local shop. There's too much of a distance. People having transport issues. So like public transport is not as good as other areas in rural Ireland. So people might only be able to get into the local town maybe one day a week, 2 days a week, depending on the bus route that might travel past them. But for them, they may need to come every week because those food items means that there's food in the house every week.
Can asking for help become a barrier, do you think?
Yeah, it definitely can. People can be really, I suppose, embarrassed maybe. I don't know if that's necessarily the right word, but people can feel really embarrassed about asking for help, especially when it comes to around food and providing food or putting food on the table for them or loved ones. And in a lot of cases, they're choosing not to eat as much to make sure that their children have enough. And I think sometimes they're getting missed out by the government or not seen as that they need as much support. So I think we need to look at families in a whole sense, and not singling out certain sections of families or individuals.
Okay, this is a family pack now. Is that all right, or is there anything in that you'd like to change? That's great. And some Coke for the children. And would you prefer tea or coffee?
You're nearly finished handing everything out.
Yeah, we are nearly finished. We've had a busy day now, more people than other weeks. We've had over 20 people coming in now.
And two new registrations today.
What do you think it will look like now going into the autumn and winter?
Certainly the trend is upwards. There's more people on the list now than there was even a month ago. There's new people being added to it every month. Yeah, so people are feeling the pinch more.
Boyle Family Resource Centre volunteer Margaret talking there to Della Kilroy. Well, in the government's National Strategy for Poverty Reduction, there is a working group on food poverty, and it includes members of the Department of Agriculture. And the response there that you heard from the community in Boyle is mirrored by volunteers across the country helping those in rural communities. Joseph McCrohan is a Sukra farmer from South Kerry, and he works with a local rural development partnership. And Sarah Clancy works with the Clare Public Participation Network. They've been researching an anti-poverty policy for Clare. Good morning, Joseph, and good morning, Sarah.
Good morning.
Joseph, just starting there with you. I suppose there's a lot of issues specific to rural Ireland, aren't there? Not least the lack of rural transport. How does this affect people in South Kerry who need these basics?
Well, I suppose here in South Kerry, you know, the issue with food poverty is, I suppose, the closure of small shops and the movement. People have to move further to get to shops. And I suppose we're very lucky here in Kerry that the Kerry Local Link has really developed and it's starting to get really, really busy and more people are starting to use it. So in the long term, I think that will have a big help, big impact. But we run the South Kerry Food Link and we provide food weekly to 140 people. Across Carstaveen, Killoglan and Killarney. And these people, you know, need this food. For various reasons, households can come under pressure. And a bag of food makes a huge difference when you're short of money.
And this approach, and it began during the pandemic, am I right?
Yeah, Marks and Spencer's Killarney rang us just as lockdown was coming and said, look, their shop is full of food. Could we do anything with it for people? So we took the opportunity and we set up a whole network of distributing food from shops. So Aldi, Lidl, Tesco's, Marks and Spencer's all give us food every week now. And we have three hubs, Ballysplaine, Long Range, J Club in Clogwell and Casting Community Centre and in Ballydrabeen in Killarney. And we bring the food to there, then we package it there, put it into the bags, the same as the people in Boyle. And then our unique service here, I suppose, is we take it out to the house and we meet the people in the house. And so we start to build up a relationship with the family that's there.
And do you see it increasing, this need, in the last, I don't know, year, 2 years?
Yeah, I suppose there's two real difficult periods. Well, every week is difficult for families that are short of money, but particularly two times in the year, this week in September, the first few weeks of September, the first few weeks of January are always difficult times for families because there's a huge layout of money for education, a huge layout of money for as people transition from one level of education to the next and so on and so forth. So, and after Christmas, then obviously there's pressure on families. So we often see a jump in the number of people looking for food at that point in time. But yeah, we see more people that have been long term on social welfare payments. If you're on a social welfare payment for a long time due to mental health problems or due to a sickness or ill health or whatever, or for whatever other reason, you'll find it hard to run a household, to run a car in rural Ireland, to pay your electricity bills who are increasing, pay your fuel bills who are increasing. And you will find in time that you will start to fall behind and then you need help. And I suppose there's not enough being done to progress those people.
Sarah Clancy over there in Clare, I mean, these questions of rural transport availability and also the closure of independent shops, do they sound familiar to you?
They sound very familiar. So, Eileen, we've been doing a series of focus groups over the last couple of years as part of the work we're doing. And what we are finding echoes very much what your previous participants are saying. So in terms of many of the people that we spoke to are not car owners. Some of them are car owners. And obviously the running of a car was an increased cost for those people. So what we are seeing is that first of all, the rurality means that there's a lack of choice. So, for example, there are no budget supermarkets available in the local areas. Also, for people who live in cities, they may be unfamiliar. You know, we don't tend to have, in Clare, we don't have town buses. So even the distance across a town or from your rural parish to a town, even the local distances can be restrictive in people accessing places to purchase their food. So as well as that, then we have, you know, there has been a kind of a digital divide has grown. So we have, if you're like me, I could possibly, you know, order online using my credit card from a major supermarket and have them deliver within a number of days. But if you don't have those resources, you don't have a credit card or you're not internet savvy, that is a service that's not available to you. And that's something, you know, that's something that we're really seeing, that there's a growing divide between the removal of services directly from local areas and almost the policy idea that people can have the technology, the help and the support to access, I suppose, the trappings of a very modern, busy existence. So those are some, but just so things that possibly haven't been mentioned before. You know, we spoke to a lot of people who are living in poor standards of rental accommodation, are in homeless hubs or in direct provision centres. And so a huge issue there is around the ability to store food, the ability to prepare food, the ability to have, I suppose, control over the food that people give to their families. And that's, you know, that's a growing issue.
And Sarah, I suppose, just briefly as well, food poverty also sets people on a course for a disadvantage when it comes to long-term health, doesn't it? So you have children who are experiencing food poverty will have, you know, worse outcomes because of this when they're older in terms of their health.
Well, I mean, that's you know, that's something that's slightly outside our field of study. But, you know, you can see there's no... when we talk about food poverty, it's linked to all the other forms of poverty. So, for example, the people we spoke to who access food banks, most of them, for example, were using pay-as-you-go type electricity meters. And most of them also reported having sat with no electricity at a point during the last year. Now, if you have no electricity, it's quite difficult to prepare food. It's quite, even if you imagine you have things in a freezer, what happens then? You know, and those are the type of things, the interlinked type of things that we're encountering. You know, I mean, it goes without saying that one of the key issues is that income levels are too low. And we'd see that most particularly for single parents and for disabled people, because the cost of disability is very high.
Indeed.
And that really knocks on to food poverty for both of those groups.
Okay. And Sarah, we're going to have to leave it there. Sorry to interrupt you there. Joseph McCraughan down in South Kerry and Sarah Clancy and Clare, thank you both very much. And there's no doubt that we will return to this issue.